India, in Dublin, Ireland, and in China. And then there are a number across here in the United States, and including right here in our own neck of the woods, Strasburg, quite a number, and Ashburn, Virginia, quite a number. So it's good to welcome all of you. It's wonderful to have you with us. As we always say, if there's any way that we can help and minister to you or to your family, I'd love to do that. I've gotten a couple of requests regarding some issues and answers. Would like a biblical response to a couple of questions, so I'll be working on that and make sure that we get that posted on the Issues and Answers website, which you can find at www.graceevfreechurchva.org. Let me also say, if you'd like a copy of The Sword of the Lord, it's a newspaper, it comes out every 2 weeks. Outstanding messages here today. There's one here on the Christian's twofold influence. I think you'll really enjoy this by Dr. Hudson. I think you'll really like that. We'd like to send that to you. We have a daily bread for morning and evening devotions. We also have something very special that I really like. We've been mentioning this here the past few weeks, but it's called Be Still, A Daily Encouragement for Moms. We'd like to send this to you. And if you don't have a copy of the Word of God, we'd like to do that. If English is not your primary language and you'd like that in another language, happy to do so. I know, Rob, you asked us earlier, a week ago or so, someone that you work with, I think he's based in London now, but he's an Indian national, and he's gotten a Bible in his tongue, but he wanted one in English. And so we're in the process of providing that to make sure that he gets that. So we're happy to do that. There's absolutely no charge, and we're more than pleased to assist you in any way that we can. Paul, again, is talking here in Ephesians chapter 5 about walking in love. And isn't it amazing? Yeah, the music was really great. isn't it amazing that as he's talking about walking in love, so many specific things actually come up? And you may remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about alcohol. And all of a sudden, that was part of what he was talking about when it called walking in love. Then last week, we talked about music. I hope you found that to be of interest. Talking about love when it comes to music. And now he wants to get something very specific here, and he wants to be sure that we're always careful to give thanks. So what I'd like to do, let me just start reading back up in verse 15, because this is the section we've been working on, and we'll read through verse 20. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the times because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But instead, is what the scripture says, be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And now our primary verse this morning, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer if you would. Heavenly Father, we come to the moment now that we've opened your word, which is, you've already told us, is timeless. It applies in each and every generation that as you have no shadow of turning, which is to say, as you never change your opinion, because what you said was right thousands of years ago is right at this very moment and will always be right as we move on into eternity with you. As a matter of fact, you tell us your word will never go away. Your word will be part of our lives and our eternity with you. Recognizing that fact, Father, then, help us through your Holy Spirit to understand what message you have for us when it comes to the concept of giving thanks. What does that mean? When should it take over? Under what circumstances should we do that? And Father, I just pray for each and every person now that regardless of the circumstances in which they find themselves, and lately I've been talking to some people that have some pretty significant circumstances going on, but they know you. And because they know you, we have a living hope. And because we have living hope, we have not only the ability and the opportunity, but joyfully, we can give thanks. So, Father, what we know not, teach us. What we are not, make us. And we pray this in Christ's name. And everyone said, amen, amen. And amen. Two, what in English are phrases, but in the Greek are words, I want to take a look at right off the top here in verse 20. Now, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to take to you is right up there at the beginning of verse 20, where it says, giving thanks. That's literally one word. And you see it here. I have it here in the Greek for you, ikartereso, and it means this, literally being grateful. Now, I want to give you a little insight here. In the Greek, the word is both in the present and active context. Present and active context. And what that means is, it means that within this moment, within every moment, the action is ongoing. So regardless of what you're facing at this very moment, give thanks. It never ceases. It never stops. It is not dependent upon good circumstances, and it is to prevail in circumstances that are not so good. That's literally what the word means. Now, he emphasizes this. Paul drives this point home with another little phrase here that says, all things. And it literally means each, every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything. Now, as we're going to see in Scripture, everything literally means in all states of being. And it covers the physical, the emotional, the psychological, and the spiritual aspects of our lives. Let me give you an example that really drives this point home. Some of you may have books by this gentleman, J.C. Riley. In fact, the Riley Scriptures are out, but all of his notes, he was the first Anglican bishop of Liverpool, and he was a tremendous soul winner, and he lay dying in the June of 1900, and at this particular moment, his daughter was by his side. He was paralyzed due to multiple strokes, and a visitor who had come by to see the Reverend looked at his daughter, and he said, he asked his daughter if the good Reverend still clung to Christ, given the physical condition that he found himself in. His daughter had no time to reply because Riley grunted with everything within him, pounding his hand on the Bible in his lap, asserting more allegiance to Christ today than yesterday. That is the everything that we're talking about. You see, even in his condition, God has used him to illustrate this point this morning, 119 years later. In God's economy, nothing is wasted. You may think that a moment that you spoke something didn't register or it was ignored, but I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit always uses everything like that, brings it back around to the individual, and uses it either as a point of comfort or a point of conviction. One of the reasons we're to give thanks always for everything. Well, if you look at the literal interpretation, I tried to put this in modern English so that it really drives the point home. In a perpetual state of gratefulness for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's talk about this a little bit now. On the heels of verse 19, where Paul tells us to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which we talked about last week, the implication being our heart attitude is tuned to God as opposed to carnal interests. And he continues to make this application, Paul does, to the true walk of a true child of God with this exhortation, give thanks. Now let's talk about this a little bit so we have a better understanding. In Proverbs 4, there's an instruction to believers that I think is really on the mark on this, and it starts in verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Now here's what the Psalm, our Proverbs also says. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. When Solomon refers to guarding the heart, he really means guard the inner core of the person, your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, your will, your choices that make what a person is reflected in what they do. But the point I want to make to you is that your heart attitude is a matter of two things: choice and discipline. Choice and discipline. Paul said he had to die to self daily. Here, Paul says to the Ephesians, there is a discipline lacking in your church, and it is hindering your walk personally, and it is hindering the work of the church collectively. Therefore, he exhorts them, you must give thanks. Let me say this to a lot of churches. It's hard to grumble when you're giving thanks. You ever notice that? It's hard to criticize God when you're giving thanks. It's humbling to give thanks. And, oh, by the way, God has promised to give grace only to the humble while he opposes the proud. Proverbs 3:34. By the way, Peter picked up on that too in 1 Peter 5:5. That is why thankfulness is a prominent theme in Scripture. He told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Exactly what he's telling the Ephesian church. Now, did you catch that? Give thanks in all circumstances. Thankfulness should be a way of life for us, flowing from our hearts through our mouths, affecting our actions and our reactions. Now, to be clear, Paul's exhortation in itself, it proves our need for the Spirit of God. Look back up here in Ephesians chapter 5. Go back up to verse 18. There's a little section there at the end of verse 18. And what does it say? It says, but be filled with the Spirit. Because in our own strength, we can never meet the expectation of being thankful all the time. We can't do it because we're so limited in our mindset. We're so limited. And be honest with you, as some of the great ministers of the Scripture have said, they have only begun in older age to realize the depth of sin in their own heart, the level of selfishness as it expresses itself first in their heart, and then it actually comes out. And usually it comes out because of the fact that they're looking out for themselves and they're not looking out for others. In fact, the thankful heart, being a humble heart, is a heart which acknowledges the sufficiency only in God. Listen to what James says. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Now, Scripture teaches us why we should be thankful in all circumstances, and I think this is important because if you're like me, you can think of some circumstances that are not so great. Well, let's kind of run through it here. Let's start in Psalm 136, and verse 1 of that psalm says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So two reasons here to be thankful. Number one, God's constant goodness, and number two, his steadfast love. And apart from God, there's only death. Remember John 10:10? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Therefore, our response is to be grateful for the life he gives. And I often think about this. You know, we're in a better mood when we wake up on a Saturday morning than when we wake up on a Monday morning. At least, okay, getting a lot of amens on that. And I've often thought to myself, you know what? The Lord has provided me breath. The Lord has provided me a way to get to work. The Lord has provided me work. The Lord provides through work. That, you know, here we are grumbling as we go along, right? Careful not to think about the fact that the Lord is taking care of us moment by moment. There's another reason here. Let's stay in Psalms 30. Now, you can read 1 through 12. We're not going to read all 1 through 12, but here's what David writes when he talks about his praise to God for deliverance. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Now, make a personal application here. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and it doesn't say you helped me. It says you healed. Oh Lord, you brought me up from the grave. How many have been in a position where you thought, this is the end, I'm so depressed? You spared me from going down into the pit. Then David writes, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. So here David gives thanks to God following an obviously very difficult circumstance. Now this psalm of thanksgiving not only praises God in the moment, but remembers God's past faithfulness. It is a statement of God's character, praise being the only appropriate response. Not whining, not asking for more, but just, and I've really come to this point where sometimes the thought has struck me, I'm in prayer, I'm going to stop asking for things, and I'm just going to start going, thank you, Father, for who you are. Amen. You know, praise is a vital part of life, and it is the sign of a life that is surrendered truly to God. And it gives credit where credit is due. Another psalm, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Jerry Falwell truly was right. Never touch the gold, never touch the glory. And isn't it true how quickly we forget God's past provision? When we consider the reasons why we should praise God, we find a list of his attributes. This goes to where the Lord is kind of taking me, going, I want you to stop being so self-centered in your prayers. And I want you to start centering on me. Not me, but God. And this is the list that I kind of came together. Because who am I praising? It says God is full of glory, Psalm 138:5. He's great, Psalm 145:3. He's wise and powerful, Daniel 2:20. He's good, Psalm 107:8. He's merciful and faithful, Psalm 89:1. And so much more. And the list of attributes, it's complemented by a list of his wonderful works. He's the one who saves us, Psalm 118. He keeps his promises, 1 Kings 8. He pardons sins, Psalm 103. And he gives us our daily bread, Psalm 136, 25. To try and list all the things that God has done is impossible, but it is a wonderful exercise because it turns our hearts back to him and keeps us mindful of how much we owe him, not what we want. Because you see, he has already provided.
Amen. Every day.
Every day. We also have examples of being thankful in the midst of hard circumstances. Now, this is the tough one. And I'll be honest with you, I have a very good friend. I've known him 25 years. He asked to have lunch. We had lunch 2 weeks ago. And shockingly, He told me he'd been let go. He was with that company when I knew him 25 years ago. He has a long relationship there. Called him in, let him go. He has kids in college. So we got into a conversation. And what I have here is we have to be have examples of being thankful in the midst of hard circumstances. Because you see, in the midst, M-I-D-S-T, we find Jesus in the midst, M-I-S-T. And Psalm 28 is a great example. It depicts David's distress. It's a cry to God for mercy and for protection and for justice. And after David cries out to God, this is what he writes in Psalm 28. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength. He is my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. In the midst of hardship, David remembers who God is. And as a result of knowing and trusting God, he immediately gives thanks. The psalm doesn't say that the circumstance has been dealt with. It does say in his heart, David has already assumed that God is in control and I'm giving you thanks. Sometimes we need to realize that God changes circumstances because he wants us in a different place. Spiritually, physically, whatever it may be, the key to this is be open with a thankful heart. Be open. You know, Job had a similar attitude of praise, even in the face of death. You find this in Job 121, right off in the first chapter of Job. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. There are also examples of believers, thankfulness in the New Testament. By the way, Paul is writing the very letter that we're reading right now, sitting in jail, telling everybody else, be thankful. Paul was heavily persecuted, yet, you know, he's the guy that wrote, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. I remember when I was at college, I was very close to my cousin Kevin. You may recall he was in the car with me. He had an instrumental influence on my life, and it was really the Holy Spirit used Kevin to impress upon me my need for Christ. Well, we were at college together there at Lynchburg Baptist College. Kevin had gotten a car. It was his grandmother's car. It was an old Galaxy. I remember what those were. I remember it was a tan car. I thought it was just really cool. Of course, we had to park on the street because we lived in the downtown hotel at the time. There was no mountain, by the way. We always relied on Kevin because he's the only one in the room that had a car. And if we didn't want to ride the bus, which half the time broke down, we'd ask Kevin if we could get a lift. So we walked the four blocks to get in the Galaxy, only to find that the whole left side had been sideswiped. Couldn't even get into the driver's side. And I remember making the comment to him, I can't believe how calm you are. He didn't say anything. He never got mad. It was such a testimony to me at the time. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are, now get this, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, we need to understand, Paul is telling us this. He's the one that's been whipped how many times? He's the one that's been imprisoned how many times? He's the one that his own Jewish brethren have said and done things to him how many times? Yet he's the one that says, my eye isn't on the prison. My eye isn't on the Roman centurion. My eye isn't on the Sadducees. My eye isn't on anything else other than this kingdom that I know, that I have, that I'm inheriting, which is absolutely unshakable. And I think in our culture, because I commented earlier that we were at Myrtle Beach this past week, and I could really sense a cultural shift that we have become the counterculture. We have become and gone to where Paul was. And that is to say, he dealt with all the stuff that we're dealing with. He dealt with every perversion, every religion that was so false, every cheating thing that was going on, everything that could possibly be happening, Paul was dealing with at the time. And look at the outstanding ministry that he had. And he's the one that said, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, therefore, let us be thankful. And while part of a thankfulness, well, in Hebrews 12, 28, it says this, so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Peter also gives us a reason to be thankful because he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, I have grief and all kinds of trials, saying that through these hardships, our faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I often think of Kevin when I think of that, may be proved genuine. He never lost it, and he has no idea how upon, he was a year older than I was, how upon my life he had such a dramatic influence at that moment that I remember it to this day. What's the point? The point is, watch your actions and reactions because they will be remembered for quite some time. It is true, the people of God are a thankful people. A characteristic of the last days is a lack of thanksgiving. 2 Timothy 3:2, because the wicked, it says, are an ungrateful lot. And ingratitude towards God, it's not so much a cause of evil, it's the result of it. Let me repeat that. Ingratitude toward God is not so much a cause of evil, it's a result of it. And once we've hardened our hearts to the point that we no longer see God as the source of our gifts, nothing is off limits. We have become a law unto ourselves. And one reason the Bible takes such a strong stance against unthankfulness and ingratitude is that God knows that the end result of such arrogance is a reprobate mind, Romans 1:24. When we remind ourselves often that we are and we have is a gift from God, we are guarding ourselves against idolatry and pride, which are the two main new facets of the 21st century American culture. So the bottom line is that we should be thankful because God is worthy of thanksgiving. And it's only right to credit him for every good and perfect gift. So a couple of points that I have here, and you can reference them to James 1:7, is this. When we're thankful, our focus moves off selfish desires and off the pain of current circumstances. We begin to put the situation into context. Secondly, expressing thankfulness helps us remember God is in control. And every now and then, I just need someone to come along and go, the Lord will take care of it. And that's where we need to encourage one another. That's why we have a fellowship. That's why we shoot emails out when one of us needs immediate prayer. We need to recall that God is indeed in control. That's why we help one another as in this local fellowship. That's why we pay for this. That's why we underwrite that. Because that's what we've been called to do. There's another thing here. Thankfulness, then, is it's not only appropriate, it's actually healthy and beneficial to us. The Lord blesses those who bless others. You know, and let me just make this point. I'm not going to go into it, but I was out of work for 4 years. The circumstances are not important. But I remember making a comment to my father-in-law, I will never be able to repay all the people that have done so much to keep Caroline, I, and the then two small children out of harm's way, with food on the table and the table itself. And he looked at me and said, Tony, you're absolutely right. You will never be able to repay those people. But what you can do is bless others as you have been blessed.
Amen.
Amen. We have had opportunity to do that. And I want to tell you, there's a deep-seated joy and satisfaction that comes from meeting the needs of others in the name of the Lord. There just is. I don't want anything back. And I'm the type of person, I don't like to talk about myself. I'm the type of person that I just shy away from. Yeah, it's fine. God bless you. I don't need a lot of, just God bless you. And I'm happy that we were able to be part of the blessing. All of this reminds us of the bigger picture. We belong to God, and that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Remember Ephesians 1:3? That's exactly what Paul's telling the Ephesian church. So that truly we have the abundant life of John 10:10. And gratefulness is a fitting response to what Jesus Christ has not only done for us, but provided to us through the ministry of his Holy Spirit each and every breath. So when I am perplexed or I have a problem, I can call Mo. When we need something done, I can reach out because Tammy prepares these fabulous breakfasts every month. So we can come together and have prayer and fellowship. All of which is done in thankfulness to what God has provided, Jesus Christ, the tie that binds. Well, that brings us to a conclusion just before we have communion this morning. What I want to bring to you right now, as you're watching and as you're listening here, whatever your circumstance right now, giving thanks to God. Again, it is in the midst of life that we find Jesus in the midst. Offer praise from a grateful heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed and Christians praying, I want to talk to two different kinds of people. You may be in a situation that circumstances have been pounding you and pounding you and pounding you. And you know what? You've about lost your mind because you don't have the grounding that we've been talking about today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I want to tell you, the pounding will continue and you will end up in failure without Christ. You say, Pastor, what do I need? You need a Savior. You need to return to the one who created you and has a plan for your life. You need to acknowledge your sin and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Let me help you with that. Pray the same thing that I prayed when I was 13 years of age. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I confess my sin. I ask for your forgiveness in my life. I ask you to come into my life. Make me white as snow. Take charge. Be my God now and forever. Evermore. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Now there are those that are Christians. You're being pounded and pounded and pounded, and circumstances are so challenging at this very moment. First thing I want you to understand is there is someone else who knows. That is your Heavenly Father, is very much aware. The second thing I want you to understand from everything that we've talked about, for instance, let's just take David. He would bring the circumstance to God, and he would just lay it out there, and he always ended up praising his name, blessing his name, giving thanks. What is it in the midst, Father, that you're trying to teach me? How, Holy Spirit, are you about to rearrange my life and to take me from here or to take me from there or to move an attitude or whatever it might be? You see, it's not just negative. God uses circumstances in our lives to give us direction. So here's the thing that we need to do. We need to thank him for every circumstance, Ephesians 5:20, and be mindful then of the Spirit's leading. Now let me pray for you, Father. We all have circumstances and challenges. And what I want to do right now is I think of my own. I just want to give them to you. I just want to not wrestle with them anymore. I can't make the change. You can. So I give it to you. I thank you, Father. I know that you're present. I know that you're going to take care of me. And I ask, Holy Spirit, what is the direction that I should go? Help me, Holy Spirit, to be still, to hear that still small voice, to recognize your leading in the moment, and give me the wisdom and the courage to do what you're telling me to do. And Father, we're so grateful for everyone who's tuned in. I just pray right now that you, one after another, meet the individual circumstances of life of every individual that's within the sound of this voice. And now, Father, if there's any way that we can be of assistance, that we can be of further encouragement, that you will use us to be so, as we stand for you unashamedly, but with love and genuine care for a culture that is so out of step with you. May we be able to say, as the writer of Hebrews said, that this is a moment to which you have called us. May we, in turn, be faithful. And it's in Christ's name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.